Howdy. How y'all doing?
Good.
Notice anything? Everybody's a little bit closer this morning. Well, we got rid of literally half of the pews on Friday. We had a church out of Joplin, Missouri that called us this past week and said, hey, we heard that you all were wanting to get rid of some of your pews and we'd like to purchase them from you. So they came on Friday, and we had a little bit of a max exodus of our pews, so you guys get to be a little bit closer this morning. So you'll have to share some of your seats this morning. And I've been told if you're not happy that somebody sat in your seat, you can bring your camping chair next week. And you can just sit back on the sides where you were. But it is great to see some of the changes that are taking place. We've about got narrowed down the chairs that we're going to be ordering. Then we're going to also be replacing the carpeting. In your bulletin, on that middle section, down there at the very bottom, you'll see that it says, in the bank so far, we've got $13,948. Well, that was before we got $1,300 for pews. And then we got $330 for the choir chairs that up here. So go ahead and do some math, do some quick adjustments. We're over that $15,000 mark that we needed to have before March 31st. So we are well on our way. We're ahead of schedule. The Lord is providing. You all are providing. And so we can't be more excited that we're well over halfway to that 30,000 goal that we need by June the 15th. So thank you all for your support, for your prayers, for the encouragement. It's exciting to know that we've already gotten this far in this short of time. Amen. And just to see what God will do in the next coming weeks. So going into announcements, we've got a lot going on. We've got a busy spring. We've got SDMI meeting this afternoon at 5, so if you're part of my committee, please plan on being here at 5. We've got small groups tonight. We've got a scenic pasture installment, so I know some of you are going to be meeting here at the church and then traveling up there. We're going to be taking the church van. Be here before 5:30. The van's leaving at 5:30, so try to be here about 5:15 or so. That way y'all can get on the van and then make it up there by 6 for that. This week is the Joplin District Ministry Retreat for pastors and their wives. They will be in Branson from Monday through Thursday, so be in prayer for those meetings, that time of getting together and refreshing. So be in prayer that they have a good time in that. Then this Thursday, the Finance Committee budget meeting. So those budgets are due in today. I've been talking about this the last couple weeks. Try to get your nominating letters in. Try to get those budget requests in, because we will be meeting this week specifically for the Finance Committee budget. Men's ministry breakfast. We will be meeting here at the church this Saturday morning at 8 for prayer and devotion, and then we're going to go to Brahms and have breakfast. There is a sign-up sheet. Please sign up. That way we can know how many of you are going to come out and be a part of that. Also out on the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet for baby shower on March the 4th. There will be a brunch baby shower for Heather Swearingen here at 10 a.m. So there's a sign-up sheet for different brunch food-type items. So sign up for that. Then on the 5th of March, that is when our annual meeting starts, and we'll be voting on those nominees for the upcoming church year. And then lastly, we've just got a couple weeks left of February. We want to be certain that we are focusing on Summit intermediate school, their staff and faculty and students. Be certain that you're lifting them up in your times of prayer this week.
You pray. You sacrifice. You give. Hope is born. A life is changed.
I was so discouraged and so confused. I was completely lost, without direction. My marriage was becoming difficult. My life before knowing the Lord was just empty, sad, and totally without hope. But glory to God, one day a friend arrived at my door and invited me to attend the Church of the Nazarene.
Every year, hundreds of churches, schools, pastors' homes, and clinics in world mission areas are built through the faithful giving of Nazarenes worldwide. But the alabaster offering isn't really about buildings. It's about sharing hope. It's about changing lives.
One Wednesday evening, I went to the Church of the Nazarene, and imagine my surprise to discover that everything that I had been lacking, I found there. I found brothers and sisters who showed me their care and love.
At home in the baking Paraguayan heat, nestled in this rural neighborhood, the Luque Church of the Nazarene, constructed with the help of alabaster funds and volunteer efforts, has become more than a church to Paulina and her family.
We found a warmth here, and in attending, we began to feel like family. This church has become our second home. Right away, I volunteered to clean the church because I felt in my heart that I wanted to give something back to God for what He was doing in me. I felt different, a new woman, a new mom, a new wife. We now come to church not only to just sit and worship God, but also to serve. Not just me, but my children as well are serving in the church.
A faithful member of the church, Paulina's fellow brothers and sisters in Christ asked her to take on one more task.
One day we had an assembly, and I was voted president of the Mission Society.
For 5 years, Paulina has served as a local Nazarene Missions International president, and for the last 2 years, as district president.
I know that every coin or bill that is placed in this jar is done so with sacrifice, but in doing so, in another place, another church, someone will come to know the love of God. I give thanks to God for those who have given sacrificially to the alabaster offering. And thanks to those offerings, today in Paraguay we have this church, which has been such a blessing to the community and to those who have sought to know Christ.
Pray, sacrifice, give. Your alabaster offering is vital. Why?
When you build a church, you aren't just constructing a building. You are building a new life for someone. You're helping lives to change, to be transformed. Sometimes in life, we find ourselves without hope. I found the hope here in the Church of the Nazarene.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but the fellow working on the door in that film, I had the privilege in Mexico of working with a man who did not speak my language, nor did I speak his, but we were building doors like that, and I didn't have a router, and I was trying to saw the doors and keep them good and square so they fit like they should. And he came in and waved me like that, and I went out to his car, and he pulled a router out. Well, how do you say router in Spanish? Maybe some of you know. But you know what I said to him? I go like that, and he'd run to the car and bring the router in so I could finish cutting the doors off. So it was quite an experience. But those alabaster funds go directly to the field. Not one penny is subtracted. Every penny goes to the field to build churches, homes. And I happen to be working at the seminary in Mexico, but what a privilege we have to bring our alabaster boxes together a couple of times a year to build buildings, to help people who have no buildings. Well, I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll give you the privilege of bringing your tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God. I don't want these guys on the outside to get to wandering around out there. You guys keep on focus there, and let's do this right. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today on our tithes and offerings as we bring them into the storehouse of God. Lord, we are blessed to be together today. We are blessed by the many blessings you've sent our way in the material things. And so it's our privilege to bring them into your storehouse. In Christ's name, we ask your blessings on this offering. Amen.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. Wrestle with our sinners, rest us all. You lead us by still waters into the sea, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children. Thank you. passion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, a hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Turn your eyes and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
All apart. You're my God.
still, and knows God contains no doubt restrains of all you hold. The greatness of our God has given my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you hold. The greatness of our God, give me grace to see beyond this moment here, to believe that there is nothing left to fear, and that you alone are high above it all. You, my God, are greater still, and no sky contains, no doubt restrains of all you are. Greatness of our God has in my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are. The greatness of our God, no sky contains, no doubt restrains all you are. The greatness of our God is in my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are. The greatness of our God.
As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of those items that are indeed within our bulletin. And I know, I just kind of been watching you and sensing this morning that these changes, they affect all of us in many ways. But God is moving us in a direction to where we can reach out to a lost community and to where we are more intentional about sharing His love with each other and with others that have not yet come into this place. And so that's a kind of a step in a different direction, to be that intentional, that on purpose about sharing our faith. I went out this week and I hit two parks this week. You know, I kind of got to the end of the week and I'd been in the office and I hadn't had a chance to get out. Jennifer and I went out for Valentine's dinner on Tuesday night and had a chance again to pray with the server that we were talking to. I went out yesterday and talked with about 12 or 13 different families. And several years ago, I met a guy that pretty fired up about Jesus. And every time I see him, I think every time I see him, he gives me another cross. And so I keep his cross in my pocket all the time. And I heard through the grapevine that some things had kind of shaken up where he might have been at church and that he was kind of contemplating some things. And I sent an email invitation and just said, look, I don't know for sure what's happening. I don't want to assume anything, but if you're in between or whatever's going on, then I just want you to know that you're welcome at my place. And so I want you to kind of look into the middle of this aisle over here. And there's a fellow back there and his wife in a yellow shirt and tie. That's Tony Van Zandt and Kathy. And I've known Tony for a long time. He loves God with all his heart. And he's not afraid to share Jesus with people. And we're glad that they came and at our invitation. So those invitations, you never know who it's going to be. You never know when people are going to respond. But God has a way of using you. Even the things that you're afraid of, I have yet to walk into a park that the devil doesn't tell me to turn around and leave before I ever get started, because nobody wants to hear what I have to say. But you know what? So far, on the three occasions now that I've done that, everyone has been very kind and very receptive to the opportunity just to share with them that if they don't have a place to attend, that we invite them to our place. And so the devil's a liar. He lies to us about everything. And he lies to us about whether or not God hears and answers our prayers. And so as we come to this place in time in the service, Yes, we're going through some changes. Do things look and sound a little different? Yes, they look and sound a little different. But you know what? God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still hearing and answering prayer. And I'm, to be quite honest, I think God's pretty happy that we have decided to be more intentional about telling other people about Him. I think He's pleased with that. And I think He will continue to respond and help us. You know, it's a major victory, what we celebrated this morning. We talked about setting a goal of raising $15,000 by the 31st of March. The last I knew, the end of February hadn't got here yet. So as you are obeying God and as you are responding, things that people said couldn't be done have already been done. Okay? So God is in this, and He's helping us. So fear not. That's what the angel, you know, that's the Christmas story. We hear that over and over and over again. The angels were always coming down from the Lord and telling people on earth, fear not. Don't be afraid. Your God is big enough to handle all this. And so as we come this morning, we don't come in fear and anxiety. We come in anticipation and hope of what God is going to do in our midst and with us. These altars are open to you, as is always the case at this point in time in the service. If you need a place, if God's been especially good to you, and you just need a place to say, thank you, Lord, and you just want to kneel down and find a special place, you're welcome to come. If you are here this morning and you got something weighing so heavy on you, maybe it's some kind of a personal situation, or maybe you want to intercede on behalf of someone else who's going through a difficult situation, these altars are open to you this morning. This is a point in time in the service where nobody's going to come to you. This is between you and God. And nobody's going to come, but you'll have an open time that you can make your way to these altars and indeed meet God there and lift up your prayer or your petition. And so we want you to be mindful of those things that, again, are in the bulletin. We want to pray for Donna. Sister Donna has found out she has a broken pelvis. And so that's one of those kind of fractures. They really can't cast that. And so the Lord has to kind of heal it with time. And so we're going to pray for that healing. We're going to pray Pastor Don's sister-in-law. They took to Barnes Hospital with some multiple health issues. And we're praying. Don is very concerned about his brother and his sister-in-law. And we're praying that not only will God do a healing work in her life, but we're praying that God will open the door of opportunity for them to share their faith and see them move toward a relationship with God themselves. And I know you probably have family members and friends and things that are out there, things that are going on. And so at this point in time in the service, you feel free. If you want to move to the altars, you may. If you want to be standing where you are. But let's stand together at this time. We're going to sing as we sing. If you need use of these altars, you feel free to come, and we'll raise our voices together in prayer.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your heart living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Atmosphere, your glory, God, is is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for this day that we can come, that set aside the Lord's Day, day to come and to worship you. Lord, an opportunity here in this service to say to you that we have complete confidence in you. And we thank you, Lord, for dwelling in us. Father, we thank you that every one of us have had the opportunity and seized the opportunity to receive you as our personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would equip us. I pray, Father, that you would energize us to go away from this place, and as we go about our daily routines, to seize the opportunities that we have to share Christ, to have God conversations, to be intentional about sharing our faith. Father, we know that the Scripture says the enemy knows that his time is short. He's busy about his business, and so, Lord, we want to be busy about yours. Father, help us, because sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes, Father, we fear rejection, or we fear that we won't have the right words to say, or we won't remember where the Scriptures are located, or that people just don't want to hear, or that they're going to be angry, or they're going to reject us. Lord, there's all kinds of things that go through our mind and all kinds of things that the devil tries to put on us. But, Lord, let's be like those men in Acts, that when they were imprisoned, when they were beaten, and when they were told never to preach in your name again, when they went back to the people for prayer, they didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray that you'd help them to escape persecution. They prayed for holy boldness. Lord, help us to be bold in a good kind of way. Not to be offensive, not to be confrontational for the sake of proving a point, but Lord, to be desperate, to feel urgent about the fact that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and we want as many people as can to go. And Lord, just knowing that we want to do your will, we say that all the time, we want to do the will of God. Well, the Bible says your will is that zero should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Lord, every person out there is somebody you want to come to repentance, somebody you want to have a relationship with. And, Father, you've chosen, for whatever reason, you've chosen to do it through us. So, Father, help us to be available. Help our abilities or our lack of abilities, whatever the case might be, but may we use it for you and for your honor and for your glory. Father, we know that as we go about life, there's just stuff that goes on. There's sickness and sometimes, Father, we face injury and accident. Sometimes we face loss of jobs. Sometimes we face loss of friendships and relationships. Lord, there's all kinds of things that can happen. Even within the Christian community, everything is not a bed of roses all the time just because we love Jesus. But Lord, because we love Jesus and because we know He loves us, then no matter what happens, there is always hope. And Father, we thank you for that hope today. And we pray, Father, that we would share that hope with others. We know that there's a world out there of despair, people who are at the edge of hopelessness, if not already there. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be able to take hope, to be able to take light, to be salt in a world that needs to hear from us so badly. Touch our lives, bless our families, Lord, over this church. And may we glorify and honor you and be pleasing in your sight. And may our words be acceptable to you, O God. And for all this, we will be eternally grateful, and we will continue to have faith and believe that no matter what we face, that you are bigger than whatever it is. And you will see us through. You are worthy of our praise. And we praise you today in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Can you hear me now? How many of you have seen that commercial a time or two? How many of you have spoken that phrase a time or two? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. Last week I talked to you about a catchphrase that had become known in our world, where people use the phrase, do you feel the love, or are you sharing the love, or whatever. And we talked about the love of God and how it's our goal to indeed see, in this year, our goal is to see 64 people come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a result of the ministry of this church. We want to also touch 1,200 lives with the love of Jesus Christ through our extending of invitations, through the carrying out of our church events, through just the things that happen as you go about your lives and indeed have God conversations with people along the way. We want to be on purpose, more intentional about the task that God has given us. And one of the things that I think affects everybody in this carrying out God's will is a certain amount of concern or anxiety, or at least being sure that we are hearing from God. And so maybe it's not really we that are making that statement. Perhaps it's God speaking to us, who says, can you hear me now? 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. Okay, have you caught this already? Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel, this is key, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, can you hear me now? I added that part. It's not there. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. I'm about to do something. He wanted to use Samuel to help accomplish it. But it took Samuel a while to figure out who was talking to him. So I thought to myself, you know, in the course of all this, anytime we're trying to think about change, whether it's in our personal lives, when we make a decision, maybe it's about purchasing a car or a home or a pair of socks. I don't know. But anytime something's happening where there is an expenditure or where there's some cost or where there's some time involvement or whatever, most all of us, I believe, want to believe that we're following the will of God. We want to believe that we have heard from the Lord. Well, you know, things are much better now. Cell phones have been around a lot longer now than they used to be. But the truth of the matter is, how many times have you gotten around somebody doing this and going, how many bars do you have? I don't have 5 bars. I just have 3 bars. Well, your reception is not very good. Maybe you should change phone companies. Maybe you should get a different phone. You know, I was always a little slow about getting a smartphone because I hated to have something in my pocket that knew more than I did. And so I stayed for as long as I possibly could with those flip phones. But I remember the day that in my 87 Dodge Caravan, I had a bag phone. I thought that's pretty big stuff. Little antenna sticking up from the bag, sitting in the console. Having intermittent conversations with people. Getting part of what they said, not all of what they said. Distortion, static, all kinds of things that were going on. And so as I think about hearing God and how can we best know that we're hearing from God and speaking to God, I'm reminded of a phrase that appears 8 times in the book of Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So what would help us to hear from God? That's really my objective this morning. What will help us to hear from God? When we pray about these things and when we pray about situations and it seems like somebody that we have confidence in seems to be hearing one thing and heading one direction and I'm hearing something else, that creates a certain amount of anxiety for me because I'm pretty sure God doesn't have 2 opinions. He might have 2 different ways, but he's got 1 purpose. And so I have to keep coming back to what is that purpose? And did I hear from God or did I hear from somewhere else? So one of the first things that I was thinking about as this subject came up was realizing that I have to get in the place with the best possible reception. I mean, have you ever literally been in your house or been someplace outside and you're going, wait a minute, and you walk over here 3 steps? You know, and see if you get a better signal. Or you walk over here by a window if you're in a building and see if you can clear the glass and get a better signal. And so we all know that there's this idea of there's a signal out there. And if the signal is good, when the signal's going out, and if my device is working, then there may be some things that affect the reception. And if I don't receive properly, I might not hear all the conversation and I might actually hear it wrong. If I don't get all of the words that someone speaks to me, then I could misinterpret what the intent of their message to me or their communication was. So I want to be in a place where I have the best possible reception, where I have the most bars. And I think the first thing that's significant to that is that we need to increase our familiarity with the source. How many of you are familiar with the term line of sight? I deal a lot with that term in the audio business, and what they will tell you is, here's this great wireless microphone, and it has this great reception, and it's superior to all of its competitors, but here's the issue. When we talk about reception, they will go, well, this thing will broadcast for 300 feet if there's a clear line of sight. So I realized then, bar none, across the board, the closer the receiver is to the transmitter, the less likely of dropping a signal. The closer the receiver and the transmitter are together, the less likely there is a possibility of dropping the signal. I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4 that I think gets misinterpreted sometimes, that I think fits into this category. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And so many people want to take the second half of that verse about the Lord giving them the desires of their heart without qualifying it by the first half of the verse, which is delighting yourself in the Lord. It's really easy for God to give you the desires of your heart when your heart is aligned with His mind. You see, God doesn't have any problem giving you what you want when you want what He wants first. But a lot of people want to take that scripture and they want to adjust it a little bit and say, "God, here is what I want. Here's what I maybe hear you saying, or maybe I don't even want to listen to what you're saying, but here's what I want, and I want you to give me the desires of my heart." But the qualification is when I'm synced up with His desires, when I delight myself in Him. In other words, when I'm happy about what makes Him happy, it's easier for Him to give me what I want. Familiarity. Closeness to the source. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." How many of you know what the term a half-hearted effort means? And what God is saying to us is, if you really want to hear from me, then be all in. I need all of you. We've heard that phrase used in the church, you know, if God is not all, He's not at all. There's only one place in your life that God will accept. That's first, foremost, everything, all in. That's the place that God desires in our heart. And when we get to that place, then God is able to communicate with us on a whole different level because He has our undivided attention. The New Testament speaks to us and says in John chapter 10 and verse 4, "When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice." Are there any farmers here? Lonnie, do your cattle know the voice of your family? When some of you call out for feeding time or when that pickup starts up, do they know to head for that spot where the hay is going to be dropped or the pellets are going out or it's time for the milking or whatever, and your family can call out to them and they'll run immediately and somebody else does it and doesn't mean a thing? My dad was that way. We used to feed beef cattle in the wintertime. We'd get those bales of hay on the back of that truck and we'd take off through there and I'd holler at those cows and they wouldn't blink. But my dad fed them every day, all the time. And he'd been doing it for years. And when my dad would get out there, he'd say, "Here, cow, woo!" Now, I'm not sure how that's supposed to bring cows, but they would come a-running. Because they knew that sound meant food. They knew His voice. And they ran to it. Because they knew something good was going to happen when they came. Now, there may have been a few of them had doubts after he did that when he was dehorning one day. I'm not sure, but you understand what I'm saying? Jesus says here that there's familiarity. If we go on over in the 11th chapter of that same book of John in verses 41 and 42, it says this: "So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.'" So we know His voice and we know that He hears us. How many of you have ever had the enemy tell you God doesn't hear you? How many of you have ever had one of those prayers that in your feeling and in your emotion, it got to the ceiling and came back down? And the enemy said, "He's not listening. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him." And what do we know about the devil? He's a liar. feeling and emotion are not a good barometer of God. They're nice icing on the cake sometimes. But God is a fact. And God hears our prayers. God wants to communicate with us. He wants that backward and forward communication. And so our familiarity, our spending time with Him, our praying on a regular basis, our reading His Word. Because here's what I will tell you. God never contradicts His written Word. If you want a system of balances and checks and you want to check something out and you say, well, I think the Lord's telling me to do this and such, and the Bible says, don't do that. Not a good sign. You're probably not hearing the voice of God. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you, I'm sure you're not hearing the voice of God. Anytime you do something contrary to the written word, that is not God. Second thing is we need to decrease the interference. Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10 gives us that indictment that we need to take more time to follow in the first half of the verse. When it says, be still and know that I am God. How many of you think you live a pretty busy life? How many of you on most days have more stuff that needs to be done than you seem to be able to accomplish, and so there's usually something left over to start the next day with? And how many of you have ever, I know this doesn't happen to you, how many of you, when you plan something out, you have a schedule for the day, and it looks like you have a day that's going to have some open time, and you're just thrilled to death because you might be able to accomplish this thing. Have any of you ever had stuff happen unexpectedly? Have any of you ever had people call you or come visit you or interrupt without checking into your schedule situation, and all of a sudden now that time you thought you were going to have or that stuff you thought was going to go a certain way, it can't go that way? Because now there's been this busyness or this distraction. I've had to change. I've just had to change my prayer schedule. Because invariably, what I used to do some years ago, and it seemed to work for a while, is I would come to church and I would come into the sanctuary and spend time in here. But invariably anymore, there seems to be enough going on that when I arrive, there are already messages waiting for me to respond to, and then there are people, because I've always kept an open door policy and never set an appointment book, there are people that come in and ring the doorbell and say, do you have 5 minutes? And I've always tried to have an open door policy. So sometimes you have to make adjustments, but sometimes that busyness and that distraction can keep you from hearing things as well as maybe you would like. There was a verse that came to my attention in my devotions this week, and it really spoke to my heart in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. It says this, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. And here's what I know has happened in my own life. That the dark, while darkness oftentimes is associated with evil in the scripture, in this particular case, it's associated with the stillness of things. It's associated with a lack of other noise going on. It's associated with a time when other activity ceases. And I can tell you in recent weeks and months that the times that I have heard most directly from God, matter of fact, the most direct thing I heard from God in the last 6 months, He woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. I was in a dead sleep. But when I woke up, I heard from Him, and there wasn't a lot of other stuff going on. It's awfully, awfully easy to awaken and immediately begin activity and not cease activity until the end of the day and you pillow your head again. And even with the best of intentions, you may start talking to God, and then you wake up the next morning. Now, going to sleep during prayer is not a bad way to go to sleep. But a lot of times, if we're really exhausted, we'll go to sleep before we finish praying. And so there's something to be said for the quietness and the stillness of the night. There's something said to be actually able to slow down at a point in time, and so I've literally had to pick a time in the day, which is early in the morning, For me, it's early in the morning. And do that first before anything else happens in the house. To talk to God. To read His Word. And it's amazing some of the things that have been happening in devotions and the things that have been taking place in my life as a result of that. Darkness can also represent difficult times, because here's what happens. When we face difficulty, we tend to focus more on hearing from God because we know we need help. When things are going good and when we're comfortable and things seem to be okay, then we're all about doing things we like and enjoying all that kind of stuff. And sometimes there's so much noise going on that we are not as in tune with God as we get when we're desperate. So darkness can represent difficulty, or it can represent the still of the night. And I remind you of a time, you know, we tend to think of God as being so big and so fantastic, and we look for these big things to happen with God, and we forget that God does not always do everything in a huge, huge way. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there's a time in Elijah's life where he needs the Lord to speak to him. And he's trying to hear from the Lord. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, verses 11 through 13, it goes like this. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so sometimes when we're looking for the magnificent or the spectacular or the fantastic or the lightning bolt across the sky or the airplane with the written message, God's sitting right here in our ear. Matter of fact, if you stay in that verse in Matthew, it says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim on the roofs." And what it was talking about is sometimes in the presentation of the Word of God or the interpretation of Scripture, there would be a person who was an interpreter. And they would actually be the proclaimer. And the person who was actually the scholar that was dissecting the word that they were reading or passing the word on to them would be whispering in their ear. And whatever that doctor, lawyer, intelligent scholar person was saying in their ear, they were then proclaiming out to others. And I'm reminded of those passages in the Scripture where God talks about whispering in our ear or talking to us from our right or left shoulder and saying, "Here's the way to go." And what it's saying to us is what we hear from God, both what we hear in the night or what is whispered in our ear, we need to get that message out to other people. When God gives a message to us, when God says something to us, we need to get that message out to other people. They may benefit from the message as well. But oftentimes, and I can tell you that I can testify to this to a T, the times that I've heard most specifically from God are times when I slowed down and didn't think about anything but God. Where I gave Him time. Where I gave Him ear. How many of you have ever been caught in a situation where you're in your home reading a book or watching a program or whatever, and your spouse or another family member is maybe across the room or in another room, and they're talking to you from where they're at? They didn't stop to look and see if you were preoccupied in any way. They just said something, and you heard them. You heard noise. You heard a voice. But you weren't really listening because you were focused on something you were already engaged in. Not because you didn't want to hear from them, not because you don't like them, but because your mind was preoccupied. And how many times have we not heard what they were saying to us? And we realize that we hear that voice, and we know peripherally it's the voice, and then we go, "What?" And then we hear something like this, "You never listen to me." (Laughter) Well, I wonder how many times that God might feel like that spouse or family member and says, I'm trying to talk to you and you're not listening to me. We need to be more focused. So we need to improve reception. One of the ways to hear from God is to make sure that we improve reception by increasing familiarity and decreasing interference. When we hear from God, part of what improves our conversation with God and part of what I think causes God to maybe even speak to us more is when we actually listen and do. Our reaction, our initiative, I think, affects how often maybe God speaks to us. John Wesley traveled 250,000 miles on horseback, averaging 20 miles a day for 40 years, preached 4,000 sermons, produced 400 books, knew 10 languages, and at 83, he was annoyed that he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. And at 86, he was ashamed he could not preach more than twice a day, and he complained in his diary that there was an increasing tendency to lie in bed until 5:30 in the morning. Do you realize what that does to a preacher who's just decided he's trying to really hear from God more, so he gets up at 5:30 in the morning to talk to God? And John Wesley's going, oh man, I laid in bed until 5:30. And I know everybody's got different schedules. Everybody gets up and goes at different times, those kind of things. What I'm saying is, though, that sometimes we need to realize we have to make time. We have to make time for God. And we have to begin to take some positive action in a way that will help us. The way we initiate our response to God is huge. I want to just remind you of a couple of passages right quick. Stories, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, of a response to God because he gave a directive, but he didn't really do the fantastic thing until the people who had been spoken to did specifically what he spoke to them about. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now, the river's raging and he's going to get them across the river, but he tells the priests who are leading the way, you go stand in the water. You get your feet in the water. And if you jump down to verses 15 through 17, it reads like this. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. How many of you have been watching that thing on TV where the dam's breaking in California and all the water's coming out and they're getting everybody out of there? So when the flood is going on, the people are not saying to you, okay, now everyone go stand in the river. That's what God said to these guys. You're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You represent me. You represent my presence. Go stand in the water, and I'll take care of things. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land. Now get this, not until they stepped in the water, but as soon as. I mean, that's not like we get in ankle deep and the water is rushing up at our knees and we're scared to death and we're going, okay, God, what are you going to do? But nothing happened until they touched the water. The moment the soles of their feet touched the water split. They probably thought for a split second maybe God wasn't going to show up, but as soon as they did what God told them to do, he was there. Oswald Chambers says, in my utmost for his highest, we have to take the first step as though there were no God. It is no use to wait for God to help us. He will not. But immediately we arise and we find he is there. See, we want God to do everything before we ever get up off the couch. And God is saying, I'm God. I said, if you trust me, you will, and I will. Go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It reads like this. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, and some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." That's what everybody wants to do, isn't it? Stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. What do you think would have happened if he hadn't stretched it out? Why should we expect God to respond affirmatively to us when we're not responding in direct obedience to Him? Are we the exception to God's rules? Yet what we can know is have faith that indeed when we respond immediately, He responds immediately. There's a story that illustrates the kind of talent we like to have. That General MacArthur, who called in one of his army engineers during the war, asked, "How long will it take to throw a bridge across this stream?" 3 days, the engineer told him. "Good," snapped General MacArthur. "Have your draftsmen make drawings right away." 3 days later, the general sent for the engineer and asked how the bridge was coming along. "It's all ready. You can send the troops across it right now if you don't have to wait for the pictures, because they're not done yet." That one didn't lock in, did it? The guy who knew how to build the bridge built the bridge. He still hadn't received the drawings from the engineers as to how to build the bridge. But the army could move on the third day because they built the bridge. Sometimes, when God has spoken, we need to initiate activity. And sometimes, God doesn't really do the big thing until we initiate activity in regard to things that perhaps He's already spoken to us. He was born in Columbus, Ohio, 1890, the third of eight children. At 11, he quit school to help with the family expenses and got his first full-time job at $3.50 per week. At 15, he got interested in automobiles and went to work in a garage at $4.50 a week. He knew he would never get anywhere without more schooling, so he subscribed to a correspondence home study course on automobiles. Night after night, following long days at the garage, he worked at the kitchen table by the light of a kerosene lamp. His next step was already planned in his mind, a job with Frayer Miller Automobile Company of Columbus, Ohio. One day when he felt ready, he walked into the plant and Lee Frayer was bent over the hood of a car. The boy waited. Finally, Frayer noticed him. "Well," he said, "what do you want?" "I just thought I'd tell you I'm coming to work here tomorrow morning," the boy replied. "Oh, who hired you?" "Nobody yet, but I'll be on the job, and in the morning if I'm not worth anything, you can fire me." Early the next morning, the young man returned to the garage. Frayer was not yet there. Noticing that the floor was thick with metal shavings and accumulated dirt and grease, the boy got a broom and shovel and set to work cleaning the place. The rest of the boy's future was predictable. He went on to a national reputation as a racing car driver and automotive expert. In World War I, he was America's leading flying ace. Later, he founded Eastern Airlines. His name? Eddie Rickenbacker. When you know what needs to be done, sometimes you just need to start acting. We want to have the best possible reception. We want to have the appropriate reactions, because obedience, not resistance, facilitates further conversation with God. God's involvement, I believe He knows who's going to obey, and He tends to go back and communicate with those people more frequently because He knows stuff will get done. When the priest stepped into the water, there was a reward. The water split. The Israelites crossed over on dry ground. When the man with the withered hand stretched out his hand, it was just as withered, but in the moment that he stretched it out, it became whole. Because he responded. Because he acted. And I'm convinced, folks, that if we want to hear from God, he wants to speak to us. I am convinced that he never says anything contrary to his already written word. I'm also convinced that he will meet our needs and continue to give us guidance if we respond in obedience and with initiative to the things that we see within his kingdom. I want to take you back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21. Samuel heard from the Lord. He heard a message that was not a really great message, and he had to give that message to Eli about what the Lord was going to do to Eli and his family because Eli had let his children go unattended and without discipline. But here's the deal. In verse 21 of 1 Samuel 3, it says, "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." Folks, we have something that that generation of people did not have. We have the Word of God in its entirety. We have a guidebook for life, anytime, anywhere, any place, if we familiarize ourselves with it. And I'm convinced that if we want to hear from God, God wants to speak to us. And if we really focus on that, if we get our mind off of our own stuff and our own agendas and all those other things, and we really quiet down to the point that we take out all of our preconceived notions and we take out all of our preferences and we take out all the stuff that's all us, and if we really just open ourselves up to God and say, "What is it you want to do and what do you want me to do?" And we begin to move in obedience on that, I believe we're going to hear from God more often. And I believe he'll trust us with greater responsibility. Samuel was young. He was a boy when he started. And he didn't know God and he didn't know God's word. The more familiar we become with God and his word, the more God's going to move in our life. And there will be less of God going, "Can you hear me now?" Are you listening? So often we want to tell God stuff instead of listening to what God's saying to us. I believe there are exciting days ahead of us. When we listen to and respond in obedience to the voice of God, will it be easy? No, I don't think it'll always be easy. Will there be some challenges? I think there's some tests along the way. But is God God? Absolutely. Is anything too hard for him? Not a thing. If it is his direction, he'll see it through. If we're running off on our own, we'll fail. But if we've heard from God, and God continues to affirm and open doors and move us in a direction, then we continue to go looking and being excited about those God moments. When I die, right before I die, I want to be able to say to my kids and grandkids, "I have seen God move." Following God is the only way to live. Been there, done that. Tried the other way. Doesn't work. There's a world who needs to hear from us, and a God who's chosen to use us. So what are we going to do? Stand with me. Father, we don't want to run out in our own notions. We want to hear from you, and we want to obey. in every aspect of our lives, whether it's personally or corporately as a church body, whether it's at our place of work. Lord, we want your blessing in our lives. And while I don't think obedience is going to mean there's never going to be any challenging moments, Lord, I think obedience opens the door to blessing that we would not receive otherwise. So, Father, help us to hear your voice and to know your voice and to do what you say. And every night we'll be able to pillow our heads in peace. These altars are open. Before we go, God's been speaking to you during the course of this message, and you just want to open yourself to say to God, hey, I want to hear from you, and I'm going to obey. If you feel like maybe you've not been right there at that place, and you just want to say to God, hey, I'm in, these altars are open. If there are other issues today that you need to settle with God, and he's maybe shown you something that I didn't even think of during the course of this message, because that happens sometimes. God speaks to people in different ways. And you just need a place to respond to God and say, Lord, I've heard your voice. I felt your tap on my shoulder. I want to be obedient to you. And you need a place to pray. Feel free to come. We'll be glad to pray with you. But I would be amiss if I closed this service and didn't give you an opportunity to be obedient to the voice of God in your life, to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Anyone like that today needs to make a decision of any sort. We want to help. Thank you for your attentiveness today. I don't believe there's anybody here that doesn't want to hear from God. Although, I will tell you, there's a place in the Bible where the people said to Moses, you talk to God and then talk to us because we don't want to talk directly to God. But I don't think that's you. So let me just encourage you. Make time for prayer. Make time for the Word. Listen and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Tony, Kathy, thank you so much for coming today. You're welcome here anytime. I don't know what the Lord's got for your future. I don't know what's happening in your lives right now. But I love you and I appreciate you. And I have always appreciated, Tony, your lack of fear for what God has done for you in your life and telling others that he can change theirs. Would you honor us by closing our service out with prayer?